morning, church.
Morning.
So, kudos to the praise team. So I'm just going to read you real quick here. The Desert Song, Praise Song. I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? The music we had this morning, believe it or not, fits right in with what I want to talk to you about today. And it's crazy. Crazy. Because until this morning, I had a whole other message. You know, we've been in Exodus the last couple weeks, and I'm trying to tie in 2024, you know, new year, new beginning, whatever you want to say. I'm going to get rid of my toothpick. And so I'm thinking, okay, as Moses is leading the Israelites out, you know, there's this great promise of what's to come, right? And they're all shouting for joy, and there's 4 million people in this procession. And then, kind of like with New Year's resolutions, we all make goals, and we all do this, and we all do that. And then about 7 days in, we forget. And those Israelites, they forgot. So that was what the message was going to be. We were going to talk about the whole trial and everything, but God said, no. And Julie gets tired of texting me, I know, and saying, hey, what do you want to do? And I almost sent this in, but I'm glad I didn't, because God worked differently, and it fits in with all the stuff I was preparing this morning about 7 and going through my notes, and God said, hey, dummy, no, we're not doing that. And I said, oh, boy. So, okay. And I read in this little book that you all got for Lesson, Jesse and I, and it just one of the devotions kind of struck me. It's Proverbs 2, 4, and 5. If you seek understanding as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. I'll just read this to you because it's kind of powerful. It's impossible for us to love God without knowing Him. And the best way to know Him is through the Scriptures. Thankfully, the Bible provides us with all the knowledge we need about God. But the Bible shouldn't be approached like a textbook. Attaining knowledge of God isn't like taking a history or math class, where our motivation is to acquire information so we can regurgitate it on a test. The goal isn't for us to know about God, rather to know God. The writer of Proverbs instructs us to look for understanding as silver and search for her as hidden treasures. But like most things of value, this takes time. As we linger in the Scriptures, seeking to understand His ways, character, and will through the Holy Writ, we will come away with cherished treasures. And we continue to mine the Word of God. Those treasures will become the most valuable things in our life. Sometimes when we become Christians, we just think, oh, I'm a Christian now. I can't be touched. You know, and again, Jamie hits it with her devotion. She's not feeling devotionally. It's a process. It's a process. It's like, I don't know that much about mining, but you know, you don't just walk into a cave and reach up and grab a chunk of gold. You know, you got to dig for it. You got to pick and shovel and whatever. And then you got to filter it. And then, I mean, all this stuff, I don't understand it. But understand it's a process. knowing God's will for you and what He wants you to do every day is a process. And if you're not in this, this is your instruction manual. This is how you learn to mine. This is how you learn to be resourceful. This is how you learn to push through times. You're not in that. You're not getting everything you need to get. All that being said, I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your plan. And I thank you for you tying everything together perfectly, Lord. And the fact that, you know, there was a whole other message, and yet this is where we are. And then I sit here and I listen to songs and I listen to devotionals and I listen to everything being said, and I understand. Lord, this is your will. I'm not going to get in your way. Lord, just shut me down and let my mouth be a mouthpiece for you today, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. So we're going to be skipping around a lot today. Title, we're going to go 2024, seven goals for the new year. Now notice it's not seven resolutions. It's seven goals. You know, and there's going to be days when you fall short of those goals. I've been on a journey of mine since April. Man, there's days when I fall short. It's been a rough couple weeks ever since, well, really Thanksgiving. It's been tough. Why? Because I gave in to my inner love, sugar cookies, right? And you know, I haven't gained a lot of weight back, but I've gained a little back, 2, 3, 4 pounds. And every week it's something different. But it's my goal. It's not a resolution. It's my goal is to be healthy. I'm getting there. It's a process. But my whole point in that is these goals are great, and it's something for us to work towards. We're not perfect. There was one perfect person to ever walk the face of this earth. Think about that. In 2024 years, there's been one perfect person. And us, the imperfect people, hung him on a cross and beat him to death. That's how much he loves you. Let's get into this. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I think they're all pulled up, yes. We're going to start in verse 17. Actually, we're going to start in verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. But test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. So our number one goal here is commit to prayer and daily fellowship with God. And I, you know, that can look different for everybody. You know, Les and Jesse and I, it looks different for each one of us. Listen, if I was Jesse, I couldn't work with Les. Because Les rejoices all day long. It doesn't matter what happens. Sometimes I just want to get mad and throw my hammer. Right? Am I wrong, Jesse? So there's varying levels. And what it looks like for you, it may not look like for me. For me, I'm that crazy idiot driving in my car singing worship songs and praising Jesus. Thankfully, it's to myself because I can't sing. Okay? And when I'm sitting in a parking lot, people think I'm sleeping. Man, I spend some time with God in prayer. And it's crazy because I've had people come back on my window before and say, "Are you okay?" "Yeah, I'm just praying about some stuff." And that's weird, but that's what it looks like for me. It probably doesn't look like that for anybody else, but that's what it is for me. So commit to prayer and daily fellowship with God. Number two, show growth in God's Word. More go to 2 Timothy. And I'm just going to highlight another point, Jamie, with her glasses. Getting old is terrible. I'm going to hold up my Bible and somebody can read this passage because I got this large print now. Man, oh man, is it nice. I don't know how I've lived without it for so long. But 2 Timothy 3. We're going to be 16 and 17. Actually, we're going to do 14 through 17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from who you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Continue what you have learned and have become convinced of. Guys, there's a lot of things in our lives that we can be convinced of and we can learn. And sometimes we have a choice to make. Which way our day is going to go. I implore you every day to start your day with the Father. And if you do that, you're deepening your conviction, you're deepening your growth in God's Word, because He's going to lead you into other paths. And He's going to lead you into places that you may feel uncomfortable. He's going to lead you into places that you don't think you should be. Much like Jamie, He's going to put you in places where He needs you to be. I got to share. So we're in the middle of lambing season. We're supposed to be done by now. We had the preg tester come out December 1st, and we had about 7 ewes. She said, "Man, you need to get them penned up pretty quick." We had 22 ewes. Guess what? 7 are left. The ones that should have been penned up that week. Now, in fairness, sheep. I've said it before, they're silly animals. Because we got one that's been supposed to have had about December 17th. And anybody want to take a guess when she had lambs? This morning. Negative 12 degree wind chill. To her credit, she had them up and she was drying them off. They were both standing when I went to the barn at 7, 6:30, whatever time it was. But why I'm sharing this is everything that you were convinced of by people in your life, Shelby's learned how to be a good shepherd. You know why? Because the sheep are at Dad's house and Dad's barn and Shelby's 5 miles away. Shelby's installed cameras so she can see everything that goes on. She probably talked to me this morning while I was in the barn, and I was mad. Because when the motion detector goes off, she gets a notice on her phone, "Hey, there's motion in the barn." And I wasn't even going to go to the barn because as of Wednesday, we had one set of twins. One set of twins. Thursday morning, I went to the barn, had a single with a new mom and a set of twins with a new older mom, and the older mom was trying to raise all three twins, and I'm like, "Oh, that's not going to work," or all three lambs. But again, it goes, I learn so much from the sheep because the sheep are a lot like we are. They learn from their mothers how to mother lambs. Much like as humans, we know how we were raised. So chances are we raise our kids a lot in the same ways because we trust what we've been taught by people we've been taught. Long story short, we went from one set of twins on Wednesday. Now we have 13 lambs, and only two were born today. The rest of them were born from 4 o'clock Thursday to 3 a.m. Friday morning. So it was a long night. I slept good. Shelby was over at our house like 3 times Thursday night. And then Friday we did all the doctoring and got everybody ready to go. But now we have more because we had a set of lambs on the coldest day of the year so far. But we still have 2 ewes that are holding on. So it's going to be colder tonight. Everybody, I'm just forewarning you, it's going to be colder tonight. Make sure everything's buttoned up at home because that's when these 2 sheep are going to have lambs. Negative 17, I'm hearing wind chill tonight. So make sure you're buttoned up at home. But we have to grow in God's Word. And if we don't, I'll apply it to the barn terms, if I don't expand what I know and I don't continue to try to be better in that barn as far as insulation and straw and heat lamps and whatever. Listen, I'm not an electrical engineer by any means, but I had these 2 heat lamps that were not working. Cheap chew cords, do whatever. I had to rewire some heat lamps yesterday, and they work. They may burn the barn down, but they work for now. Okay, so we have to show growth in everything that we do. And the way we're going to show growth in our Christianity is by getting into God's Word. Number 3, we have to search for holiness in everything we do. Search for holiness in everything we do. 1 Peter 1. And I'm going to start in verse 13. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. I'm going to read 17 because I like it. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. And what's that tell me? Man, when God looks down, he don't see me. He don't see me covered in sin. He don't see my failures. You know what he sees? He sees his son covering for me. Guys, no matter what you do, whether you fail or whether you succeed, do it wholeheartedly. Do it wholeheartedly. You know, if you're able to give a dollar to the offering, do it with a full heart. If you aren't able to give, do it with a full heart. If you're able to give $1,000, it doesn't matter. Do it with a full heart. When you go out into the world, has anybody else had this kind of day where they kind of just kind of go through the motions? Man, my day goes terrible. Terrible. Man, when I do it with a full heart and I'm wholeheartedly into it, it's amazing how much better my day goes. And you know, there's only one thing I got to do at that point, and that's give God all the praise because that's not me. That's God coming through and everything that I've been taught and trained and whatever. You know, some of my favorite trainings that I've ever had, I go back to when I was 10, 11 years old in a Sunday school class. I can still tell you who my teachers were, Dorothy McCammon and Freda Higgins. Two older ladies. Man, they had a love for leading children to Christ. And I can still remember conversations. And there was only two or three of us in that Sunday school class. But I can still remember conversations that those ladies had with me that struck. And that was the initial training that I received. And when I fall back on those, man, my day goes pretty good. But when I try to do it on my own, negative. So search for holiness in everyday life. Number four, and this one should be easy, but it's not. Practice gratitude in all circumstances. But I don't like not having any money. But I don't like when my house is cold. I don't like when my car doesn't run right. Instead, our logic is, God, thanks for putting food on the table. God, thanks for giving me a house even though it's cold. God, thank you for giving me a car that I can go to work every day in a place that you put me. You ever think about that? You ever think about why you are where you are professionally? For some of us, it's not because we just love what we're doing. Now you teachers out there, and Les and Jesse, now there may be others that just love what they're doing. Man, if I was building houses, I wouldn't love it because I'm dumb. That's why I sell Coca-Cola. But I'm where God wants me to be. I'm convinced of that because there's been other situations that have come up that I have no other reason to believe that I'm where I am other than God put me here. Because I would have never, ever thought I'd be here. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians, and we're just going to reread verse 18. It's pretty simple. Practice gratitude in all you do. Verse 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Period, exclamation point, end of sentence. We are instructed by the Lord to give thanks in all we do in all circumstances. That's good enough for me. I grumble about stuff still, but at the end of the day, I think, you know, God, you taught me this today because you put me in that situation, and I thank you for that. Number five, we all see the verses over here. Number five, developing the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. But the Holy Spirit provides the kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these things. If you take nothing else out of today, take Galatians 5, 22 and 23 and, man, embed it in your heart. And use it every single day this week. Don't ask for patience. But understand that if you're in working hard and you're fulfilling your other four goals, God's going to give you patience. I made a mistake of praying for patience one time, and man, oh man. Don't do that. You think Jamie had it rough with her week? Man, don't pray for patience. But pray that you can commit to daily fellowship, you can grow in God's word, you search for holiness in everything you do, and you practice gratitude in all circumstances, and patience will come. It's a great verse. Put it in your hearts. Number six. We must have active participation in the Christian community. What does that mean? It means, man, we better be out there making a difference for God. We better be in here in church. And it's whether you're here or not in church, that's irrelevant. But here's why church is important. Because you're surrounded by other people who are going through the same things you are. And you may think, no, nobody's going through what I'm going through. Baloney. Baloney. I guarantee there's someone in this church that's going through the same doggone thing you're going through. And if you're not rooted in the church community, you don't get to experience that. It's so cool when I see somebody in the church just reaching out and saying something or maybe making a phone call or sending a card or whatever it is to one of the other believers in this church. You have no idea. Your timing, God's timing, is always perfect in that. Because there are people going through things that we don't even know. But since we're active member of God's body, God has taken care of it. And He's going to lay somebody in your life that's already been through what you've been through. Let's go to Hebrews for this verse. Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to do 32 through 35. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. And then verse 36, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. And guys, that just tells you, hey, stand beside your brothers and sisters. Because what you're going through, they've already been through it. And at the end of the day, what do we want to do? We have to persevere so that you will receive what He has promised. Verse 37, here's what He's promised. For in just a little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. Man, when Jesus comes again, He's going to be like those shepherds on Christmas Day. Man, they dropped it and they came. We see a lot of signs today that are pointing to Jesus coming again. I think it's coming closer and closer. I have no idea when. Maybe in my lifetime, maybe not. But I got to be ready. And how do I get ready? I put what's in here, and in here, so that it comes out of here. If you're not feeding yourself with the Word, how are you going to help somebody else? Goal number seven, I love this one. It's probably, I don't really have a favorite, but this is right up there. Develop a heart of compassion and service. It's funny how, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to read 31 and 32. No, we're going to read 29 through 32. Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. 31. Pay attention, Matt. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. Guys, that's the cross. That's why it had to happen. For us to get forgiveness for our sins. That's the compassion that our God has for us. Yet sometimes it's hard for us to forgive somebody that, I don't know, whatever, didn't pay me $5 back, or cut me off on the road, or hurt my feelings. Guys, we've done way, way worse to our Lord and Savior, but He did it anyway. He has that much compassion for us. Man, if you got a beef with somebody, go get it taken care of. Get it taken care of. Because it's impossible for you to do most of these things if you still have a grievance with somebody. It's holding you back. It's holding you back. Because what happens? I know what happens when I have a grievance with, well, I'll just use my wife for an example. When I have a grievance with my wife, it's a bad day. We don't have very many grievances anymore. You know what our biggest grievance is right now? Every night before we go to bed, well, as we're eating supper, my wife will say, "What do you guys want for supper tomorrow?" You know what my response is? Look at me. Do I look like I'm picky? I mean, short of her stir-frying some onions and tomatoes together, I'll eat anything she puts in front of me. But I'm telling you, if she feeds me raw onions and raw tomatoes or stir-fries them together, I'm not eating it. I'll eat a piece of cheese. Okay? I mean, honestly, that's the biggest grievance we have, unless it comes to what? Really, there's nothing else for us. I mean, we've had those fights. We've been married 30 years. We've had those fights. But at the end of the day, you know, I made a vow to her when I married her 30 years ago almost. I said, "I will never go to bed mad with you and without you knowing that I love you." And that's simple. That's simple. No matter what goes on through our daily life. They played a game yesterday. Show me how to bridal shower. They played a game yesterday, and I don't know if one of the questions was, "Who says I'm sorry first?" I don't know. I wasn't here. But if that's in Chris and I's relationship, who says I'm sorry first? Me, because I'm usually wrong. And I'm not afraid to admit it. But sometimes, even when I'm right, I say I'm sorry because I just don't want the grievance. I don't want the grievance. And then she usually, "No, it's not your fault. I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have done that," or whatever. Very few times, because I have the mouth. And I have the sarcasm. But guys, understand that if we're holding a grudge, we got to get rid of it. I don't know if anybody remembers Tim Tebow, and I've just recently joined TikTok. My kids all have it. My wife has it. And they'll be sitting and watching these videos, and they're sitting there laughing. I'm like, they send me these videos, and they're stupid. They're dumb. Let's just have me one yesterday, and I didn't follow what it was. It was, you know, Miami Dolphins were going to Kansas City last night, and it was like negative 12. And, you know, Miami, obviously, it's a southern state, pretty warm. And it showed, and it wasn't even them. It was John Candy, and I don't know who it was. It was some clip off of a movie from old days. And it said, Miami Dolphins walking into Kansas City, and these guys all had, like, you know, these long parkas on and hats and hoods. And I was like, I don't even think that's funny. I think it's stupid. But on my feed, because I follow NFL football, Tim Tebow came up. Anybody know Tim Tebow? I know Paul, Bill, Dylan does. Right? This dude was a terrible, he was a good college quarterback, a terrible professional quarterback, mainly because he was built like a guard. That's kind of why I like him, because I can see myself being built like that. But this dude is a Christian, and he's not afraid to say it. And some of his videos have been coming up. He's like a motivational speaker now. And it's pretty cool, because I've been able to watch those while I'm driving, or listen to them while I'm driving around in my car. And I'm like, you know, he brings up a lot of great points. But he talked about forgiveness this week. One of his videos, and man, it hit me. Forgiveness is the easiest thing I can do because of what he did. If we think about forgiveness as Jesus forgave me, how can we not forgive everybody that has a grievance with us? Because guys, I'm telling you, I am a black sheep. Okay? But when God looks at me, he sees me white as snow because of what Jesus did. That's all I need to know. That's all I need to know. In conclusion, the new year gives us a place where we can show growth in everything that we do. You know, are we always going to stick to our resolutions? No. But I hope that our goal as a church is to grow our faith, grow our spirituality, grow our love for our Lord and Savior. Notice I didn't say our goal as a church should be to grow our number. We should be filling this place every single day. Listen, if we have 30 people here, fine. God's going to take care of everything. But if we have 30 people here and we're not growing spiritually, we're not doing our due diligence for the Lord. And if any time you feel like we as a church are not growing spiritually, please tackle Jesse or Les or myself one day and say, hey, what's going on? I don't think we're growing like we should be. It's not about the number in the seats, but it's about the people in the seat. Okay? Because it's where two or more are gathered, there am I also. We have to be diligent enough to know that he's here. And he's here every time we meet. And he's with us. And he lives in our hearts every day we're out there in the streets. Because you don't think he sent his son to die on a cross and die a miserable death for us to fail. Because when he comes back, he wants every single person with him. Every single person. That's why he hasn't come back yet, because we're not ready. That's our job. If we go with those seven goals and we work hard and diligently every single day to try to achieve those goals, we're not always going to get there. But those aren't like earth-shattering goals. Don't get in your word. Show compassion. If you don't think you can do any of those seven goals, do the one. Show compassion and show forgiveness to everybody. Guarantee the rest of them are going to come. Because if you show that you have that compassionate heart and you care enough about people, go out of your way to do things for them. God's going to use you. God's going to use you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for tying everything together. Lord, when I was ready to give another message and you said, no, 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 I thank you for that, but I thank you for giving me the reassurance of the praise and worship and the devotion that you gave and just the way the day has flowed and went. I thank you that you pressed pretty hard on me to say, no, this is what you're going to do. Lord, as we go into 2024, we're 2 weeks in, and I just pray that as a church, we strive to be better. We strive to be deeper in your word and in your, so that we can show what you can do with just normal, ordinary people. Lord, I pray for the church as they head out this week to safe travels, but also that you put them in situations where they can show your love and your compassion every single day, Lord. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we give you all glory. In your name we pray, amen. So we're going to be here, the praise team's come, we're going to sing a song of invitation. Man, the best thing about a new year is we've seen the calendar flip. If you need to make that commitment, that decision to follow Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't wait. Don't wait. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Come so that we know you're going to be with us when we go back with our Lord and Savior when he comes. And if you have questions, if you have prayer, need prayer, whatever you need, we're here. If you don't want to come forward, if you just make eye contact with one of us, raise your hand, whatever, we'll come to you. We love to pray for the church and everything that's going on in everybody's lives.